This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thanks for staying with us. I'm Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Wong Xiao Ning and Philip C. Now, in about 30 minutes, we'll be talking to a company called Yong Tai Berhad, which is involved in two whammy hit sectors, property and tourism.
Yeah, so Noel will be grilling Datuk Wira Boo Kwang Loon. He's the CEO of Yong Tai Berhad. And like many companies, they've not been spared from the COVID-19 pandemic because, as you said, Chuang, from their exposure in the tourism and property sector. So as the world slowly recovers, how will Yong Tai stay in the game for the next few years? Will diversifying into the vaccine distribution bandwagon offer a long enough lifeline for it to pull through these gloomy times? So CEO Datuk Wira Boo Kwang Loon will tell us all on The Breakfast Grill.
Okay, all that and more at 8.05. Now, despite stellar earnings from some of the world's biggest companies last week, the biggest news out of Wall Street was all about GameStop, that video game retailer that had its heyday 30 years ago. Now, in case you missed it, an army of retail investors coordinated themselves to send shares of GameStop soaring over currently over 16,000%, in fact, 1,600% up year to date.
Now, this resulted in a squeeze on short sellers who had made bets that GameStop's price would actually fall. Some big-time institutional investors actually lost a lot of money because of this. Now, in the past, stock prices have been thought to be self-limiting. They only go up so high before they become unattractive based on their valuations. But it seems like retail traders care less about these fundamentals as much. So will this trend stick around? And if it does, what does this mean for the future of Wall Street?
Okay, so to break it down for us in greater detail, we've got on the line with us Ed Klissel, the Chief US Strategist with Ned Davis Research. Ed, thanks for joining us. Do you think we've seen the end of this phenomenon yet? Because it started out as almost a case of David versus Goliath. What are the ramifications potentially?
I think there's going to be a few more chapters to this book before all is said and done. In particular, if you're looking at the retail investors, for a lot of them, this is house money or just extra money they had, maybe because they couldn't spend it going on vacation last year, or they got a stimulus check from the U.S. government. And so any money they've made is perceived as extra money. But also just the idea that there's a way to invest differently than had been done in the past. That's going to draw some people into the market. And then if they can take on the big institutional hedge funds along the way, then even better for them. So I think this is going to be going on for a little while longer.
And how will this impact, you know, because there are three key players involved, right? You've got the retailers, you've got the intermediaries, and also, of course, the hedge funds. So my question is, does this represent a real shift in balance of power towards the retailers and a tech-led kind of disruption to the current market hierarchy? Or is this just going to be a one-off event? Are we going to see more GameStops out there?
Well, I think if you look at what the hedge funds did, or a few hedge funds made a pretty big mistake in that they shorted a very small number of stocks that that were fairly illiquid, and they left footprints as to where what they were doing. And so it wasn't hard to find that information if you wanted to look. And so I think hedge funds will probably be a lot more careful about whether or not their trades are going to be known. And so I think that's going to be one of the big changes. And the intermediaries certainly are going to have to be better capitalized going forward, because if traders can't trade on that, they're not going to use their platforms, and then they don't have a business model. So in the retailers, I think as well, I think there's going to be a group that want to do this. Whether or not they can actually move stocks like they did last week going forward, that's going to depend on the market cycle. I don't think that's going to be happening every day.
Can I just touch base on this army of retail traders, right? Just give us a sense of the intention here. Is it firstly to make money, or is there a populist streak to this army? And also for me, does this army have a general? And are they equipped with the right arsenal and artillery to fight these battles moving forward?
I think that's a great question. At Ned Davis Research, we have a phrase called being right or making money. Where, you know, you can spend all your time trying to prove you're the smartest person in the room, but that doesn't necessarily mean your trades are going to work. And so if there's an army of retail traders who their main goal is to try to pull one off on the hedge funds or Wall Street, then ultimately it's probably not going to work out for them. Maybe not now, maybe not this week, but eventually that's how it's going to go. But I think there is an underlying populist message. There's just a lot of frustration in the U.S. over the rising income inequality. And I think that's manifesting itself somewhat in what's going on in the stock market right now.
Yeah, so try and take it forward, Ed. How do individual investors, how does the rest of the world navigate financial markets now that this phenomenon of retail traders, you know, trying to stymie the hedge fund guys and this whole social populist revolution going on as well? How do we navigate markets going forward?
Well, I think if this turns into some sort of roving band of retail traders just picking on stocks, which I don't think is how that's going to go, because again, there has to be certain things in place with for them to be able to move stocks to the magnitude that they did last week. But if that happens, I think that's when regulators would step in, because it does make it for a much more difficult market for investors, for longer term investors to operate. So I think if that happens, again, I don't think that's how it's going to go. But if it does, I think regulators would want to do something.
Yeah. Since you mentioned regulators, Ed, what kind of changes do you see in the regulation front? Because in the aftermath of the incident, I mean, we heard even the White House and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying they're monitoring the situation. Senator Elizabeth Warren has waded into the issue, calling for SEC investigation. So what do you expect on that front?
To a certain extent, the system worked in that the SEC has rules in place for the intermediaries to have enough capital on hand. And with all the and how much capital they need depends on the size of the accounts and also the volatility. So as volatility increased, they had to have more capital. So what one result I think is that they're going to have to keep more capital on hand. That may not necessarily be a bad thing. There are conspiracy theorists out there saying that the hedge funds who actually buy some data from Robinhood and other online brokers were actually encouraging the stoppage of GameStop trading. If that is what happened, then I think there'd be some regulations around that. It's not clear that's what happened. But if something like that was going on behind the scenes, then I think the regulators would step in.
So just explain it to us, Ed. Why did Robinhood actually stop trades on GameStop? Is it a function of the fact that they needed to cough up more capital because they just had so much exposure to this counter?
That's basically right. When an individual is trading stocks, particularly if they're borrowing money, they're doing it on margin or they're trading options, they have to keep some extra money on hand in their account. But also the intermediaries have to keep money on hand because if their clients go bankrupt, there has to be money to keep the system going. And there's several layers along the way, because if you go all the way back to the 1929 crash in the U.S., that system wasn't in place. And that's part of the reason why stocks fell so much back then. So as the volatility increased last week, these mechanisms kicked in and they were required to increase capital. And that's why you saw even today, Robinhood got another $2.4 billion investment so that they can allow for their clients to keep trading these stocks.
Last question, what comes out of GameStop? Because what are the fundamentals of the business then?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I can't talk a lot about individual securities, but there are a lot of retailers whose business models are changing, and that's I think a reason why companies like GameStop were shorted in the first place. So there's an interesting question going forward whether or not those businesses actually have a business model going forward.
All right, Ed, thanks so much for your time. That was Ed Clissold of Ned Davis Research. And I mean, it just unravels, right? I mean, obviously, Vlad Tini, the chief executive of GameStop, was asked by the reporters whether it was actually Citadel and who basically coerced the Robinhood platforms to stop a trades on GameStop. Actually, the reason was because their clearing houses couldn't clear the amount of trades in time, so they had to basically capitalize up. And I think what for me is one takeaway from all this is happening is the fact that the Robinhood day traders, the, you know, the interactive brokers, the TD Ameritrades, you know, these so-called commission-free trading brokers will become bigger. They'll become more capitalized. They'll become more mainstream and institutionalized.
Yep.
And the democratization of the investment world becomes even more widespread, which is a good thing, as we were discussing earlier this morning. But it also means the potential for the individual investors to control the hedge funds and, in a way, to discipline them, right, becomes even more pronounced. Because as we know, as what Ed was saying, it might discipline the hedge fund traders from not shorting so many stocks and making easy money in a way, right?
Well, markets are all about noticing a gap, right? Arbitraging an opportunity. So, you know, kudos to the retail investors, I mean, these Robinhood traders, whatever you want to call them, to notice that these hedge funds weren't being disciplined, like you said, and over-leveraging, having a short of above 135% of GameStop's market cap. So, hey, they noticed this and they went for it and they made money from it. Kudos to them.
And according to the Bloomberg, that, you know, the short interest to float remains at 117%. So, you know, read into that what you will. Up next, we'll talk to Hannah Yeo, the Segambut MP on the Taman Rimba Kera issue. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.